Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go. Hour 2 on a Monday, loaded today. It's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. I never watched Space Jam 1 with Michael Jordan. I'm not going to watch Space Jam 2 or whatever it's called with LeBron. Apparently, Space Jam 1, the people who watched it thought it was cute. Space Jam 2 or whatever it's called with LeBron is getting critically ripped. Have you seen it?
I'm going to see it this week. I've seen the original Space Jam probably 30 times.
That's what somebody on the team said. They watched it over and over as a kid.
Well, yeah, I was a kid. So I'm going to watch Space Jam A New Legacy this week, and I have zero expectations.
Well, yeah, it's getting ripped.
It's for children, guys. It's not for you. If you're 30-plus years old, like myself, watching Space Jam A New Legacy and expecting it to be like some critically acclaimed movie, I don't know what to tell you. Grow up. Like, it's not for you. It's for kids. Like, it's kids are supposed to watch it and enjoy it. It's not made for you.
Well, that's a good point. Where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong, brought to you by Jersey Mike's Subs, grilled portobello mushroom and Swiss. Fresh ingredients make it. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above. Here we go.
Where Colin was right.
Well, we said all season long that Drew Holiday was one of the great acquisitions by any NBA team. Smart, veteran, could give you points, plays defense, and boy, has he been a pickup. Last two games, he's had the key defensive play, that the alley-oop to Giannis. Remember the game previously, Chris Paul hits the floor, he picks it up. Game 5, he had 13 assists, great defense, over 20 points, and he has worn down Chris Paul. He's been a great pickup for Milwaukee and a huge difference maker in this series.
Where Colin was wrong.
Well, I had Chris Paul before the series, I ranked the top 10 players in this series. I had Chris Paul number one, and his productivity has dropped off a cliff, mostly because a bigger, stronger Drew Holiday has worn him down. He has also been at times disengaged early in games as if he's saving it for the fourth quarter. But make no doubt about it, Giannis would be the MVP today, and you could make an argument Chris Middleton or Booker would be number two.
Where Colin was right?
Well, we started preaching it last week. The Bucks' physicality, even though the series was tied, we said Milwaukee's bigger and it's starting to wear down Phoenix. They look tired and fatigued. And we also said that age becomes a bigger factor in a series the longer it goes because the series gets more situational. There's more pressure. And generally, younger NBA players shrink when they get tight and older veterans don't. So we pointed out last week the physicality is starting to become the factor in the series.
Where Colin was wrong.
But I said a month ago the Western Conference Finals were the finals. Remember that? I said Suns Clippers is the finals. Well, boy, was I wrong, because I think Milwaukee would beat both. You know, this is not the NCAA. If it was, Phoenix would be champs. It's not one game. It's not two. The reality with the NBA, refs, once you get to the conference finals and finals, let the fellas play. That's why the advantage is generally to older, more physical teams once you get to the conference finals, and that's what we have here.
Where Colin was right?
Well, when LeBron came to Los Angeles, of the four teams that he narrowed it down to, the Lakers were the least talented team. And I said, LeBron, Mr. Basketball-centric guy, has become a mogul. Basketball's 50%. Business is the other 50, and I get it. He had the money, he had the respect, and he had the rings. Space Jam, you saw him on the sidelines at Phoenix with his own brand of tequila under his leg. I do not begrudge LeBron at all. The bottom line is most of these great players, like Magic, like Michael especially, are underpaid for about 75% of their careers, right? Because they're better than anybody thinks they could possibly be in their mid to late 20s, Magic and MJ were. And then at the end, they're making business deals. And that's what LeBron's done. And he has a title. I don't think he's going to get a second. By the way, Don Cheadle is supposed to be great in that movie. Who do I say is the best actor in America, Joy?
Don Cheadle.
Don Cheadle. And if I met him, I would say, hi, Don Cheadle.
Where Colin was wrong.
Last week, 50-plus executives, coaches, and players voted on top 10 quarterbacks. I'll be damned, Dak is 7. I've never thought of Dak as a top 10 guy. I've always put him in kind of the 12, 13. He's better than Kirk Cousins. Not sure he's as good as Derek Carr. You know, kind of that 12, 13 space. He doesn't have a great arm. It's okay. He's athletic, but he's not like Kyler Murray athletic or, you know, Russell Wilson athletic. But you know what? I got to say it. Bottom line is the reason I have the Cowboys going to the playoffs this year is Dak. It ain't the defense. It's not the head coach. It's not that old offensive line. There's something to be said about being a quarterback is more than arm. It's about intangibles, intelligence, leadership, toughness, guile, and Dak got that stuff coming out his ears.
Where Colin was right.
I predicted that Damian Lillard, when the trade rumors came out last week, Damian Lillard would say it's not true, but he would keep the door open. Damian Lillard said it's not true, but he kept the door open. He said, essentially, he put the Blazers on the clock. This was to put pressure on the Blazers to make a move. Now, I do not know what move that would be. I think they could go to Philadelphia, get Ben Simmons. They'd have to give up C.J. McCollum and something else probably. But Dame did what we expected, which is he didn't want to take the glare away from the Olympics. He's not a selfish guy. He's got good self-awareness here. He's not going to take, as they say, the shade away from the Olympics. But he made it very clear, we got to get better. I don't have an interest being a one-and-done guy in the NBA playoffs.
Where Colin was right.
Ben Simmons officially is on the trade block. Daryl Morey, the GM, said a couple of weeks ago, and I gave myself a wrong, sky's the future. And I'm like, all right, I don't buy it for a second. Well, Sham Sharanya last week broke the story, somebody we trust implicitly, that yes, Philadelphia is engaging teams in Ben Simmons, which they should, by the way. Embiid and Ben Simmons don't work, and they don't like each other. And Ben Simmons does have value. I think on Golden State, he could be a really interesting piece. But we never bought into the, you know, Daryl Morey, he's part of our future. He shouldn't be part of your future. It doesn't work. It doesn't fit. He can't be on a team with a dominant big that sits in the lane. He needs it open because that's where he scores. Colin Wright, Colin wrong on a Monday. You know, I want to talk about the Michael Jordan thing. So LeBron James has gone out and made, I don't think the world was clamoring for Space Jam 2. The first one made about 40, 50 million, and that was Michael. But it does show something. I've been very pro LeBron. I know his friends. I'm a huge fan of Rich Paul and Mav Carter. I know those guys. I like him. I like the branding. I like his story. I like everything about him. But it's pretty remarkable that Michael Jordan has not played basketball in 18 years and has been out of his prime, the zenith of it, for 25. His shoes still outsell LeBron. His movie's better than LeBron. And his documentary essentially was the talk of America in sports. Think about his documentary. His documentary, so this is old video we've already seen, averaged 5.6 million viewers per episode. That's more people that watch the Suns-Lakers average game. 25-year-old footage on Michael Jordan. On Netflix, Netflix ran The Last Dance. It got 25 million viewers. That is three times what the NBA Finals today are averaging. I always said this about Michael Jordan. He was the trifecta. He was the best player. He was kind of the best looking player. And he was the most glamorous. Only Muhammad Ali has had that. I mean, when Muhammad Ali was coming up, he looked like a model. He fought like a superstar. And he was funny. It's like, timeout. He did poems and stuff. He was doing lyrical stuff and poems and stuff. You're like, timeout. That's what like people that have a microphone on stage do. You can't do that. He was doing it constantly. There's nothing like Michael except Ali. And there's nothing like Ali except Michael. Now, the difference is one was very political and one was sort of anti-political. You know, Michael wanted to stay out of that stuff, right? Like, you know, Republicans buy sneakers too, I think was what he said. But there was also something about Michael that I very few athletes have had. Every athlete wants to be cool. Joe Namath was cool. Michael Jordan was cool. Derek Jeter was cool. A lot of guys want to be cool. I think LeBron would kind of like to be, because I think all athletes kind of want to be cool. But Michael had something that I don't think LeBron's ever had, and that there was a coolness without trying with Michael Jordan that I don't think I've ever seen. I mean, even the late Muhammad Ali, you know, he knew what he was doing. I mean, he was really antagonizing Howard Cosell, and he was antagonizing the media, and he would come out with poems. But, I mean, it's remarkable to me that we are 25 years out of Michael Jordan's prime, and his documentary is getting three times the audience of the NBA Finals today. And by the way, it's been a good Finals. These games have been great. This has not been a bad, these are not blowout games. These are crazy, flawed teams, a young, exciting team out west, a Midwestern team which is inartistic and clunky but easy to root for. Right now, Michael Jordan's shoes this year will make five times as much as LeBron's shoes. I'm going to tell you, I always tell the story, I probably tell it two or three times a year. When Michael Jordan, when I was covering the NBA, I was like in Portland, Oregon, and it was the older Michael, you know. But when Michael would come to town, and this was at the beginning of his career, the middle of his career, and at the end of his career, it was the lead story on your local news station. It wasn't a sports story. They would send me, the sports guy, out to lead the news. Michael Jordan was in town. And as great as LeBron is, and the movie's out, and he's got his shoes, he's got his pizza, and apparently he's got tequila now. Whatevs, I'm all for it. Mogul stage, I don't resent any of it. It's unparalleled. Listen, 25 years from now, we will not be talking about LeBron the way we are Michael Jordan. It's just unbelievable. As Space Jam comes out, it's unbelievable. LeBron's once again being compared to Michael. And people like Michael's version of the movie better than LeBron's. I mean, it's just nothing in my life ever been like it.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Saturday on FS1, the biggest rivalry in baseball is back to kick off an MLB doubleheader as Giancarlo Stanton and the Yankees take on Xander Bogaerts and the Red Sox. Then Randy Arozarena leads the Rays against Jose Ramirez and the Indians. It all begins Saturday at 3:30 Eastern on FS1 and the Fox Sports app.
Yeah, Yanks-Red Sox this weekend was wild. What's new? Cedric Ceballos played over a decade in the NBA. He was an all-star and an NBA slam dunk champion. And it's interesting, his story, so he played with Dirk Nowitzki and the Dallas Mavericks. And Dirk had just come over from abroad into the States. He was young and skinny and talented and eager and earnest, but he wasn't the star that he later became. And that is now the Giannis story. You get drafted, the team is patient, the Mavericks were patient and tried to put the right pieces around him, and now, like that 2011 Mavs team, which finally put it all together, it's a little lightning in a bottle. It didn't become a dynasty, but they finally got the title for him by being patient with Dirk Nowitzki and making a multitude of moves. And here is Giannis. You know, first two or three years, not much of an impact. Next three or four, it's like MVP, and here he is sitting on the precipice of an NBA championship, and Cedric Ceballos is now joining us live. So let's go back. You played a couple years with Dirk Nowitzki. Let's go back, Cedric. You were more established. Your game was more refined at that time. Let's go back to Dirk. What do you recall about him? How raw was he?
Oh, very raw, Kyle. I think the biggest thing about Dirk was his work ethic. I mean, a lot of pressure was put on him. I don't know if you guys remember, as soon as they drafted him, Milwaukee did, and they traded him for Robert Tractor Trailer to the Mavericks. Don Nelson Sr. stated that he's going to win Rookie of the Year. This kid is going to win Rookie of the Year, and he put a lot of pressure on the guy. So I think he came in like, wow, like, slow down. I don't even know if I really want to be here, you know, even though he got drafted. Then he started working every day. I'm a old school guy. I was brought up by the Magics and KJs and Barkley. So training and putting myself in a position to get better each time, that was something that a rebuilding organization as the Mavericks were at that time, they weren't a part of that. But I'm on one end, Dirk is on the other, with Kiki Vandeweghe, with Dale Harris, with Donnie Nelson Jr., with Dirk's trainer and his teachers, and they're getting him better. Even though, you know, like certain nights we play a great Karl Malone, you know, a guy who's just going to pound Dirk and you know put him in the whirlwind. But he had to do all that work before the game. I mean, three workouts, and then you know sometimes Dirk would even go in and foul twice just so he'll be in foul trouble to get his rest, knowing that he got to go third and fourth quarter against a guy like Karl Malone.
You know, it's interesting. So same with Giannis, who's not the shooter. He's not the offensive player initially. Right. Dirk was, but he's a bigger, stronger body. He's a better defensive player. And, I mean, I said this morning, you can make an argument if he wins tomorrow night, in 3 years he's been an MVP twice, a defensive player of the year, and the finals MVP if he wins tomorrow night. Could I make the argument by tomorrow night he's the face of the NBA? Giannis is.
It's going to be tough to call him the face of the NBA in Milwaukee. No disrespect to the Midwest there, but it's really hard to get him on every single channel and on the pitchers. I mean, LeBron is still going to be that guy out there, even though at the age of the high 30s for him. I think it's a progression period. And I love the fact that he's not willing to leave to go get a bigger sneaker deal or be on camera all the time or being seen walking red carpets and all that stuff. It's just a hardworking guy. And a lot of people really don't understand the reasons of why he's wanting to stay. I think he's got a great deal with Milwaukee, a great relationship. I he's playing with his brother. Who doesn't want to, you know, be able to play with your brother on the same team? That's a bonus right there. You know, whether he's capable of being in the league or not, that has nothing to do with it. That's just that familiar face, and he's got a great team that they're building around him. I don't think the prediction of Giannis of being as big as he is now, when they first drafted the guy, they really thought they had somebody young and athletic and really a great work ethic. But I think at progression, the way he has put himself on the upper echelon of being an MVP, being so humble, putting his team on his back when they need him, being a two-way player. People forget that about this guy. He's a great defender, and now he's adding another dimension to his game, which is offensive passing.
Yeah, no, there's no question. You can tell his work ethic. You can see it every year. To LeBron's credit, LeBron kept getting better every year. He came in, he wasn't very good defensively. Then he developed a three-point shot. Then he had a back-to-the-basket low post game that was exposed against Dallas in the finals. You know, yeah. It is interesting. You played in this league a long time, and you're a big body. You were a big, slender body in college. I watched you play live against UNLV. You were a slender body. You got bigger and stronger because you're doing NBA nutrition, NBA weight rooms for 8 or 9 years. And I watched this series. Phoenix looks so small. There are all these young guys. I feel bad for DeAndre Ayton. Go back to your career. Cedric, the refs swallow the whistles in conference finals and finals. They want the players to win it. I think that has been a huge bonus for Milwaukee in this finals.
Yeah, well, you know, those Fullerton days, a good thing the NCAA's changed the rules, because I was starving most of those days. That's probably why I was so skinny. I didn't have no money to buy myself food. But I think that it does help out a physical team like Milwaukee. I talked earlier to you about losing a big man when they went out with the injury. This is huge because you don't have that replacement when Ayton comes in to get physical, to give up five or six fouls.
Right.
That'll wear Giannis down a little bit. That'll wear Lopez down a little bit. Those things can be detrimental. And then a lot of factor that everybody is really ignoring. Game one, game two, the Phoenix won. Giannis was not healthy.
That's right.
He was not healthy. Once he got healthy and his mentality got aggressive with his knee, hyperextended knee, then he started just giving Phoenix Suns problems. And I think that's been the biggest turnaround after going down 2-0.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, Cedric, now that you mentioned it, the healthier team has won almost every series. So Saric got hurt. And by the way, now, I'm not saying it would change the series, but he was a big body. So I had picked Milwaukee to win about 2 months ago. And the reason I said it was, I sound smart today, but I said all their stars, none of them get hurt. And in a condensed season, everybody's getting hurt. Well, isn't it ironic? And it's not a huge injury, but Saric is a body. He's a big and he's hurt. It's interesting with Phoenix. I could make the argument, I don't know if it would be a good one, they're a little like Miami. They're young. They have one star. But it's a little bit of a lightning in a bottle season. And I can make the argument with Phoenix. They were healthy all year. The guys all played together. But Chris Paul's getting older. Do you think, we know Milwaukee is going to be very good in the East next year, whether they win or not. But when you look at Phoenix, are they the Miami Heat, a one-and-done or lightning in a bottle, or do you think they're back next year battling for the finals?
Well, you have to go back to when you talked about the injuries first, Colin. You know, look at Phoenix. I mean, AD goes down with the Lakers.
Yeah.
You know, they win that series, and then they move on, to
Denver,
a Clipper team, Denver,
Jamal Murray.
Scott Murray out.
Yep.
You know, then Kawhi's out. You know, they advanced because of injuries, and now they've got themselves in a situation where they're injured. And I think they don't become a one and done team. It depends on their star, Devin Booker's emotion. If they lose tonight or game seven, and Devin Booker's emotions carry on into summer, it's going to be a short summer for him, and then on into the next season, I think they have a chance to get back. The emotions, what I mean is it going to hurt? Is he going to walk away with, I'm the next Kobe, I'm going to believe the press, I'm going to believe what everybody's saying, and I'm satisfied by scoring a couple 40-point games. I'm satisfied for everybody knows that I'm dangerous and I'm that new dude. Or is he going to walk away like, yo, I got my ball stripped in game five. I can't rely on any other people to do this. I got to make sure my other counterparts are ready and their mentality is ready. I think that's going to be the difference. Miami didn't come back after Jimmy Butler's getting them to the finals. I think because, you know, the heroes and everybody else kind of read their press.
Yeah,
Charles Barkley said about our 93 team. After we went to the finals, we had three guys that opened restaurants. We had this. We had that. We had so many people that was like, hey, we're satisfied by being number two to Michael Jordan. That it kind of made the team a little detrimental. So I think that's what's going to happen. If Devin Booker's emotions are hurt to a point where he doesn't take, like Kobe didn't take time off. If you want to be the next Kobe, go right back into the lab, not only for yourself, but also for your teammates. Encourage them to get better. And I don't know if CP comes back, if he goes on an opportunity to chase a ring elsewhere, if he even comes back to Phoenix.
Yeah. Great stuff. I had no idea. So you guys got to the finals, lost to MJ, and three guys opened restaurants. Were any of the restaurants good?
Well, yeah, you know, Dan Marley's restaurants are still up and kicking and all around the valley. I don't think Frank's and Danny Ainge's are up anywhere, but yeah, it was a tough scenario.
Yeah, great seeing you, Cedric. I love having you on the show, man. Good luck.
Anytime.
Yeah, that is interesting. You know, we were talking about this, the Chris Paul situation. So when you look at Phoenix, the way they're constructed, would they be better off? And I'm just, this is hypothetical. Let Chris go. Go spend money on another score. Because it has felt at times, Devin Booker's on an island doing all the scoring here. I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah. So, and Chris isn't going to give you that. I mean, again, you have to live in the moment here. Do you say to yourself, we love what Chris did, but we have to get a second, and Mikal Bridges may develop into a 15-point-a-game guy. DeAndre Ayton. But you need another, at least a little bit of a Devin Booker prototype, another guy. Hopefully somebody with size, because Jay Crowder's older. Chris Paul wears down. That Phoenix, we know they'll be good next year. That's not the question. They'll be a good basketball team, good coach, good star. But the Chris Paul thing, I think we had it set in stone, and as you're seeing now, if you ran the Suns, you're like, boy, Drew Holiday's taking Chris. He's made him look 39 years old.
This series did not do anything for Chris's future with Phoenix.
Well, we've talked about this. Sometimes a series changes your finances forever.
Yeah.
Like, that's the way. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo completes that ball in the Super Bowl against Mahomes. Bring him back. You send him to an extension.
Well, I think that Chris's value throughout the regular season and really throughout the playoffs until this series was very well exhibited. Like, yeah, they needed him. I thought he was the MVP with,
yes,
as you do during the regular season. He took what has been a dysfunctional organization for a long time,
yeah,
to the NBA Finals. But now in the NBA Finals against the other best team in the league,
a big physical Drew Holiday.
Because if you're just trying to be good, or are you trying to be great?
All good question. Joy Taylor with the news.
This is the Herdline News.
So the Suns looked like they were going to cruise to a win, or at least started out that way, 16 points up in the first quarter of Game 5. But the Bucks came roaring back in the second quarter, tied the game up back up with just over 4 minutes. Milwaukee held on for the win, 123-119, and Devin Booker did not hold back in his disappointment after the game.
We came out and did what, you know, we intended to do, you know, get off to a great start. And, you know, we let it go. You know, they stayed resilient and they kept playing through. So, tough loss for us.
They were also up by 9 at the beginning of the fourth quarter in Game 4 and lost 109-103.
They've had their opportunities.
So, for all this talk about how, you know, Milwaukee is playing and how Giannis is playing, and obviously Giannis is playing amazing, the Suns are still in these games. Like, the Suns are the ones making the mistakes down the stretch and not holding on to leads.
Look at the final.
It's not like Giannis is they're getting blown out.
No, Milwaukee misses enough free throws to keep it close. These games are very, very close.
These are very winnable games for Phoenix.
It's been a really fun, as a consumer, I think it's been a great series.
Amazing. Who likes blowouts? The only people who like watching blowouts are the team who is blowing the other team out.
Right.
So one market, one fan base in the whole world gets to enjoy those kind of games.
These aren't great teams. They're very good flawed teams, and each, you know, the respective opponent picks away at your flaws. So this is not a sweep series. But it's a good series because they're two very good teams, two totally different rosters.
Which is making it competitive and a fun watch. I'm looking forward to seeing how this next game goes. There's great stories either way. If Phoenix wins, it's a great story. And if Giannis and the Bucks win, I think it's a great story as well. And I think for similar reasons, both of these teams, you know, you have the Chris Paul factor and all of that, but the Suns drafted and developed these players as well, just as the Bucks did. Now, the Suns might be a little bit flashier because it's Phoenix or whatever, and Devin Booker is, you know, the style of player that he is. But I think this is good for the NBA because everyone's always complaining about the super teams and, you know, these pompous superstars and all this. And that's not what you have on either of these teams. Chris Paul is a legendary player, but he's not in that category. Like, he has to win a championship. So both teams have a lot to prove. Both of their stars have a lot to prove. I think it's good for the NBA. It's a different way to do it.
Yeah.
So the Rams are hoping that Matthew Stafford is the team's difference maker this year, but not everyone in the NFC West is convinced Stafford is the answer.
Boom.
49ers safety Jimmy Ward said he will believe it when he sees it. He said he's the same quarterback who was on the Lions and they still didn't go to the playoffs. They went and traded for Jared Goff, who went to the playoffs several times and went to the Super Bowl. I've yet to see that with Matt Stafford, and I'm saying he's still great. I believe he's a top 10 quarterback, maybe top 5. I don't know. I'm just going off what I see, and I see Jared Goff got those boys to the Super Bowl.
Well, there are a lot of people. I think Matt's going to be very good. But there are a lot of people, and I think I've been one of these, that Matt, you know, the numbers tell you he's a really good quarterback. He pads stats. He never had a good running game. He had to win oftentimes by shootout. So he should be better. But there is something to be said about winning big games. And he hasn't been in a lot of them, like almost none of them. And he hasn't won a lot of the ones he's been in. So I think he will. But I think it's reasonable and fair to say, if I said to you, name the three biggest wins in Matt Stafford's career, you can't name any. I mean, last time you beat the Packers, unless you live in Michigan, it's hard to remember it. So I think he will prove it. I have them winning their division, but those questions I think are totally fair.
Well, it'll be his 13th season in the NFL, and he has an 0-3 record in the playoffs, 74-90-1 in Detroit. Look, Detroit has been a very dysfunctional organization for a long time. We probably don't give them as much credit as we should for how dysfunctional they are.
Yeah.
And that's not a knock, it's just facts. And it would be great for every team in the league to be competitive, but that's not how it is. I think Matthew Stafford, maybe him and Carson Wentz, I think, have the most to prove this year.
And I think they're both really talented.
For different reasons. I thought the Lions did a good job with Matthew Stafford's exit.
Hey, if we know Stafford's going to be better in L.A. Like you and I both know.
Well, the team is better.
Right.
The coaching is better.
But
the organization is better.
If Wentz goes to the Colts and, like, wins 11 or 12 games, how dysfunctional does it make Philadelphia look? Because at the end in Philadelphia, He struggled on screen passes. He was a broken player.
Right. If the Lions struggle this year, no one's going to be surprised.
Right.
But yes, I agree. There's a lot of people that are on the clock right now because of these big moves. And that's what happens when you take big swings.
Right.
It comes with big risk. So LeBron's Space Jam: A New Legacy was released in theaters and on HBO Max this weekend and brought in over $31 million. It's the best three-day stretch for a family film and for Warner Brothers during the pandemic. And one of the Warner Brothers executives even called it the family movie of the summer.
Okay.
Keyword being family. Family movie. Space Jam was a family movie.
Well, by the way, they're short movies. Space Jam's 80 minutes. This is not a three. This is not a Gettysburg. Okay, this is it's like a cartoon. It's going to be
The Irishman.
Well, yeah, I mean, because your target demo is kids, and kids can't sit through 2.5 hour movies.
No, but look, I read a lot of the reviews of this movie. First of all, people love talking trash about LeBron. It's like they love that. I have not seen the movie. I am going to see it this week. I have zero expectations for any kind of emotion or, major inspiration. I'm just watching it to watch it and be entertained and see what LeBron did with a movie that a lot of sports fans actually like. Like, I loved Space Jam, the original Space Jam. I also love Michael Jordan. I was also a kid when I saw it.
Right.
So when you see things as a kid, you romanticize it well beyond what is actual reality. The original Space Jam is not Shawshank Redemption. Like, it's a fun movie.
Yeah.
There's a lot of nostalgia there. And that's what I'm going into this movie with. That's the expectations that I have. Just keep in mind, it's not for you, 40-year-old man.
It's for 9-year-olds.
Yes. Yes.
The key demo is 9 to 13.
Yes, exactly.
By the way, Rotten Tomatoes gives it a poor score. Children don't eat tomatoes. They don't like them. So just remember that. Rotten Tomatoes doesn't matter for a kid's movie.
I do think it's funny that when I first heard about it being made, I wasn't super excited about it because I love the original Space Jam so much. And then over time, I softened to it because I'm like, you know what? Like, let me not be a weirdo and like expect to have this like big emotional moments with the sequel to Space Jam. I got to just stop taking myself so seriously.
Yeah.
It's going to be all right.
Good stuff, Joy, with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News. Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In baseball, if I have more big dudes that can throw 98-mile-an-hour gas past your hitters, I win the World Series. And by the way, in the NBA, we're seeing analytics be trumped by big physical players who don't shoot the three ball. By the way, of the 7 teams that shot the most threes in the NBA, that's a quarter of the league, right? One playoff series win. One series win from all the teams shooting threes. The last 3 years in the NBA, the champions have been Toronto, the Lakers, and presumably the Bucks. Toronto was 11th in three-point attempts. The Lakers were 23rd last year in three-point attempts. And the Bucks have one elite shooter on the roster. And he's hot and cold, Chris Middleton. But all three are big, physical basketball teams. Anytime society goes lurching into something, cryptocurrency is the answer. My initial reaction is, turned off, too trendy, not into it. Trendy doesn't work. Yeah, the stock market's having a bad day today. Reality is the stock market and real estate, they're going to be around in 40 years. Cryptocurrency, I'm not sure. Maybe, maybe not. And I like the idea that what we're seeing in the finals, and we saw last year, size matters. Physicality matters. The Raptors were big, old, and physical. Lakers last year had Dwight and LeBron and AD and Montrezl Harrell. And though he's not big, Rondo was a very physical defensive player. So as the NBA has gotten skinnier and more perimeter obsessed, it's nice to see bigs dominating because I grew up with centers. You could have your back to the basket. I grew up with teams where size mattered and dominating the glass mattered. And that's a very alpha thing, to dominate the glass, not shoot a 27-foot fall-away three is not as alpha. And the Bucks starting five is on average 2 inches taller and 25 pounds heavier than Phoenix, and you're seeing it. Now, by the way, what about Golden State? Well, yes, they had three of the greatest three-point shooters in the history of the world. But just because they can do that doesn't mean you can do it. And it's like the Baltimore Ravens. They run the football. Why? Because Lamar Jackson's the fastest quarterback in league history. And they're like, but should everybody in the league say, we got to do what Baltimore does? Baltimore is 30-7 since Lamar Jackson started. That's better than Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre, all of them. At 37 games in their career. But they do it because Lamar has a skill set that nobody else has, as Steph Curry and Kevin Durant do. Steph's the best small shooter in the history of the league, and KD's probably the best big shooter in the history of the league. You can't do that. So Milwaukee's like, we don't do that. We can't do that. We're not going to do that. We're going to be physical. So 3 years in a row, big old veterans physical that don't launch up a zillion threes, and that's not really their specialty or their go-to card, is going to win the NBA championship. By the way, a lot of people are saying, it's funny, cracks me up. I've been reading social media. You know, you guys are talking a lot about Aaron Rodgers not showing up to camp. It's very boring. Nobody cares. If Steph Curry resented the Warriors and the Warriors had a simmering resentment towards Steph Curry and he was going to be on the market potentially, would it be a story? Hell, I'd cover that thing 4 to 5 segments. Mercedes Lewis said yesterday, no idea if Aaron's showing up. Mark Murphy at another board of directors meeting said, I'd rather not talk about it. The bottom line, it's the NFL. He's an MVP quarterback. The Packers are a huge brand, and Aaron Rodgers himself is a massive brand. This puppy has potential to blow up over the next couple of weeks. So the star resents the team resents the star, and his replacement is four lockers away and is playing the same position. So I do think Aaron shows up. I do. He joined the Green Bay Country Club. You play in July, August, and September. He's going to have plenty of time off. They don't do the two-a-days like they used to. I think he'd lose a lot of money if he's not in camp, but he would only lose $2 million, which the government mostly in America takes half of it. So he's got a net worth of $150 million. Him losing $1.1 million cash is not changing Aaron Rodgers' life. And Adam Schefter reports he's still not happy. So it is a massive story that could be resolved in a week. I do what I believe Aaron Rodgers did this offseason, and it's a protective mechanism, and I think I would do it and anybody would do it. If you're in a relationship and they are drafting your replacement, you're in a relationship with a woman and she starts kind of hanging out with another guy, what do you do? Well, get into a fist fight or disengage somewhat to protect your feelings. So what Aaron's basically doing is very human, which is, I don't think this organization going forward is totally committed to me. They just moved up in the draft to get my replacement. They're not totally committed to me. They won't get J.J. Watt. They didn't keep my quarterback coach. They wouldn't get me Jared Cook. They just drafted my replacement. They are not emotionally all in on me. Maybe 80%, maybe 90%, but not all in. So what did Aaron do? I'm going to disengage from you. I'm going to go to Montana. I'm going to do Jeopardy. I'm not going to show up to camp. It doesn't bother me. That part doesn't bother me at all. A little bit of a tantrum, whatever. But it's healthy. If, like with Brady leaving New England, he still felt they were committed to him. Briefly with Jimmy Garoppolo, they maybe weren't. He got rid of Garoppolo. But he still felt they were committed to him in New England. It's just he was frustrated with their lack of drafting legitimate skill people. Green Bay does that well. That's not the issue. Aaron's issue is one, and maybe it's a guy thing more than a woman thing. I'll just speak for guys. If I felt my heir apparent was sitting right next to me and I wasn't the long-term plan for this network, I would probably disengage a little too. That's all Aaron's done. Tom didn't disengage. He just said, could you draft a receiver that can get open? That's not Aaron's issue. I mean, if Green Bay just struggled on drafting receivers, I don't think Aaron would be going through this. He'd be frustrated, But he is saying, you're not committed to me totally. I'm going to go do Jeopardy. And that's where I defend Aaron. That's where I absolutely defend Aaron. Green Bay appears to have one foot in the Jordan Love camp, and Aaron's got one foot in Montana. And that's okay, too. Hour 3 coming up on a Monday, The Herd.